I can't tell you how many times I've stood before a family and they've lost a loved one, maybe a dear mother, and I've shared with them words that I've always thought were some of the most comforting words in Scripture. At the beginning of the 14th chapter of John, when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." But as time goes on and as life circumstances changes, I'm beginning to find some other words in that 14th chapter of John that bring comfort and are very powerful in their own way. Regardless of your age, when your surviving parent dies, you become an orphan. I've heard people talk about this strange and difficult awareness for years. When you realize for the first time in your life, you have no father, you have no mother, it hits you different levels at different times. The first time I think I ever realized this, although I didn't fully appreciate what was going on, was when I was in college. My great-grandmother died. She was 96 years old. And I remember being at the funeral home. We were preparing to go to the cemetery for the graveside service. And in the room with my great-grandmother's body were her five adult daughters. My grandmother and her four sisters. My grandmother, the oldest, was 75 at the time. And I remember them sitting around the room with the casket being there, and then the funeral director comes in and simply says, "It is time for us to go." My great Aunt Lois, I always loved Aunt Lois because she was always funny. She was the life of the party. She was always laughing. But she stood up at that moment and she said something so powerful, so true, so profound. She looked at her sisters and she said, "We have never been down this road before, but we must be brave and we must carry on." And together they all stood and walked arm in arm out of the room, orphans for the first time. When you realize there's no patriarch, no matriarch, then suddenly you become the eldest generation. There's also the thing about your own mortality. You see, most of the time, the way life is supposed to work is you bury your parents first. Now, we know that doesn't always happen. Joyce's mother has buried two sons. My mother has buried a son. But when you lose the last parent, you realize that now you are looking at the grave. When children have become the caregivers, as so often happens, the death of a surviving parent leaves a huge void. There's no more nursing home to go to late in the afternoon. No more laundry to be done. No more forms to be filled out. There is an emptiness. You lose family history. Most of our elderly parents, even though they may have dementia, they can still go back and recall things in vivid detail that happened years ago. You remember that lady that lived down the street that always brought those pies? What was her name? What was it Uncle Lewis did for a living? Usually an elderly parent can recall those details. You know, not everyone has a good relationship with their mother or their father. But as long as the parent is living, there's always the hope that there will be reconciliation. Always the hope that these things will work out, but when death comes, then that hope is gone too. It's difficult being an orphan at any age. I'm not an orphan. My father died in 1998. My mother is still alive, but she is slipping away. Over the past 3 or 4 months, her health has declined both physically and mentally very rapidly. My connection with my mother through the years has been the telephone. Every Sunday afternoon, I would faithfully call my mother. And then when she stopped working, which was just a few years ago, and she was at home, I might call her 2, maybe 3 times a week. But last year, when we put my mother in assisted living, I started calling her every day. I would often call her when I got in the car. I might be going over to Winston to the hospital, and I would call her. There were times that she was able to talk, times she couldn't talk, but sometimes we might talk for 15 or 20 minutes. And there were wonderful conversations where we would go back and she would reminisce about when we were children, and she would talk about things that would bring us both delight. Well, back in December, Joyce and I made a quick trip to Alabama to see my mother. She was still in assisted living, still walking. Her mind was fairly clear. But right after Easter, we went back. She's now in skilled nursing. She's not able to get out of the bed. Her dementia, or Alzheimer's, is quickly taking over. The thing that I miss the most are the daily phone calls. I noticed when she went into skilled nursing that she quit answering the phone. One day my brother told me she doesn't know how to answer the phone anymore. When we were visiting, I took her phone. She's got one of these old flip phones, and I put it on the bedside tray. I rang her number. The phone started to ring. I had my brother to change the ringtone to an old-fashioned phone, so hopefully she'd recognize it. Well, she picked it up, and she opened it, and then she just stared at it. She didn't know what to do. Every now and then, she will answer the phone, and that will be a nice surprise. But I understand that my mother is slipping away into another world, another reality. A world in which my father is still alive. She mentioned him yesterday to my brother, thinking that he was still alive. But I know that she's slipping away into that other world, and I am rapidly becoming an orphan. And that is why the passage from the 14th chapter of John is so powerful. Did you hear what Wendy said? Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphans." Actually, the word in the Greek is bereft. I will not leave you without an encourager. I will not leave you all alone. I will not leave you without someone who will be there for you always. I will not leave you orphans. I learned a long time ago that Mother's Day is a very difficult day for the majority of people. If you are here today with your mother, be glad, rejoice, be thankful that you have this opportunity. For those who have lost their mothers, especially those of you who have lost your mother in the last year or two, this is not an easy day. It is also a very difficult day for those who have always wanted to be mothers, but for reasons beyond their control cannot be. I know people that just won't even come to church on Mother's Day because it is so painful. And then there are those who are single moms. And it is a difficult day. And for single dads, who have to be both mother and father. It is difficult. And then there are those who don't have a good relationship with their mother. This day becomes very, very painful. And then for those of you who are mothers who are here today, did you notice we didn't read the 31st chapter of Proverbs? I learned a long time ago that when you get up and talk about the virtuous woman, the perfect mother, that most people say, you know, that doesn't make me feel too good. There's no way in the world I can live up to that. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. The great late preaching professor Fred Craddock tells a powerful story. He was in a town that he was not familiar with, delivering a lecture. And on Sunday morning, he got up and he asked the hotel staff, he said, is there a church close by? I'd like to visit a church. And they said, well, there's one down the street. If you go two or three blocks, you'll see the church on the right. He knew absolutely nothing about this church, didn't know what denomination it was, but he walked down the street and there it was, a small little church. And when he walked into the sanctuary, he was warmly greeted. By the time the service started, the sanctuary was full. The choir came down, followed by the minister. And Fred Craddock said, when I looked at the minister, I was shocked. He was a big man, about 6'4". The most noticeable feature was that he had difficulty walking. He was stumbling along. He was very awkward. His body moved, his arms did not. His head was misshapen. His hair was out of sorts. When it came time for him to preach, he stumbled into the pulpit. When he turned around to face the congregation, he had these big, thick glasses. When he read the scripture, he had to put the Bible like this. And when he started to speak, he did with great difficulty. But yet the congregation hung on every word. And when the service was over, he noticed how people came and spoke to their minister and how there was a wonderful, loving relationship between the church and this awkward man. And one lady came by and said, I wish I could have known your mother. And he looked at her and said, my mother's name was Grace. After everyone had left, Dr. Craddock started talking to the minister and he said, you know, that was an unusual response. My mother's name was Grace. And he said, well, let me tell you my story. When I was born, no one wanted me. I was put up for adoption. But he said, look at me. No one wanted to adopt me. And so I was passed around from one foster home to another. When I was about 16 years old, I was walking by a church and I saw some young people walking into that church and I followed them. That was when I met Grace, the grace of God. And that's when my life really began. My mother's name is Grace. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God, for the gift of mothers. For those who have their mothers today, may we cherish every moment. For those who remember their mothers today, we give thanks for their life and their witness that continues to be with us. And for those who have had a difficult journey with their mothers, we pray for peace and reconciliation. And for those whose mothers are slipping away, we pray for strength on the journey. Help us to remember your words, that you will not leave us orphans, that you will always be here when we need you the most. Because of your everlasting love, in Jesus' name, amen.